And welcome to everybody here on Off the Hook Overtime on YouTube. Emmanuel here in YouTube land. Kyle, you made it too?
Almost.
And I believe Rob T. Firefly, you there?
I am there.
And I am here.
And Gila, yeah, I was getting to you. And are we on YouTube? Can you verify that?
We are, and we are sounding good.
Okay, good. And Alex?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, and you sound different. You've arrived.
Yes,
you've gotten somewhere.
I have arrived.
You're at the safe house now, or what's going on?
At the safe house, yeah.
Good.
Three different states over, and we're all good. We're good now, I think.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Fingers
crossed. A little out of breath.
Well, we haven't done this in a while, of course, you know, we can continue talking about the things we're talking about or start new conversations or invite our listeners to come in. Yeah, but you know what? To get this out of the way right away, let's see how bad our friend the hum is today. We have a dial tone. We have no dial tone. I think something probably isn't plugged in. But that's okay, because the phone line isn't working yet either. So people are calling it. They're not getting here. So let's try now. That sounds beautiful. Listen to that. So, okay, your witness, that sounded great. Now, if you can't hear us, I don't know what the reason is. It's not something that we're doing. If you hear a hum, you might want to get your hearing checked, because we don't have a hum right now. And we're not going to touch anything. We're not going to breathe on anything. So if people call in later, now, I know there's problems with people in signal land talking to people in telephone land. That I don't know how to fix, but we'll do our best. We'll transcribe what you say. But you guys never really say anything anyway when people are on the phone.
We have our moments.
Yeah, well...
if it gets hard, just reserve your comment for after we hang up, and then you can maybe make a comment, or I don't know.
And people calling in, maybe make your remarks short as well. not lecturing anybody in particular, but, you know, if you can do that, then we can address them all the better and talk about what you said to us for 20 minutes, you know? Things like that work out pretty well.
We have had some more suggestions about our setup, and it's great that people want to help us do some audio engineering stuff, but we have to set aside a little work party and really tear it all apart and get into it. But we're doing the best we can, so just bear with us and just get your question or your comment out there, and we'll be able to move on and take more calls. And at some point in the future, we won't even discuss how this all works. It'll just happen.
Wow, imagine that.
Maybe, if we're still here.
Rob, you have your hand raised. Go ahead.
I do, because on the subject, you know, last time we did this and the phone was giving us trouble, and you went into a little detail about, you know, I don't think you know what hacking is. If you think hacking is a nice, clean technical solution, everything, you're wrong. Someone posted to Mastodon, our pal Lex Pendragon, and he quoted you and, you know, posted a bit more of what you said, and then followed up with, I love this quote, and I feel like this is one of the most I feel seen things I've heard on about hacking in ages.
Wow.
And it was very nice to hear that. And
it is nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just say something, but I wasn't expecting that would be it. But
you summed it up by saying sometimes it sounds good, sometimes it sounds terrible, but we're throwing our hearts into it. And, you know, that continues to be the case. And it's nice to know that that the efforts are appreciated from
Absolutely. The
folks listening.
I felt defended. I was like, wow, you sticking up for all the hard work I put in.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I just think it's a diversion anyway. Like, we should just have the conversations we're having. We'll get this stuff down, but it's a lot. And like, I don't want to get into my personal like workload, but for me, like, yeah, I love to help, but I don't have to.
Fair enough, yeah. I think that's true of many of us here. But we appreciate everybody's patience as well, and also your feedback. We like to hear, you know, what you have to say. We'll be open with the phone lines fairly shortly, but anybody else have any stories they want to share or anything going on that we haven't had a chance to talk about to this audience, because this is the overtime audience, which sometimes is a completely different audience than the off-the-hook audience. Sometimes it's the same, but sometimes it's different.
There was a bit of a bleak story going around last week about how Medicare is apparently going to start paying AI companies a share of any claims they automatically reject using the AI.
That was
AI
one of the stories.
Coming,
one of the stories, yeah. I intended to get to tonight, so I'm glad you're getting to it.
Yeah, the The tagline here is, AI companies are becoming a whole new bounty hunter. This from the site Futurism. And it's really bleak. It's as bleak as it sounds. It's some dystopian crap. And it's one of those things how if you've dealt with the healthcare industry world at all, you have your suspicions about how dark things are behind the scenes. And every so often a bit of it becomes, you know, has a light shown on it. And, you know, yeah, it is that dark, if not darker than you thought it was. They're reporting on a New York Times story. AI companies selected for this experiment will get paid a share of the money they saved by blocking people from their health care. Those savings could look like billions of dollars over the next 6 years, and that's if the program doesn't get expanded.
Okay, control C here. Hold on. the money, they're getting paid a share of the money that isn't spent. So where mm-hmm. is that money coming from?
They seem to have missed some logic here
because the money isn't there. They're not spending it. They're not reimbursing people. So they're just paying people now.
Right. So the idea is that Medicare, instead of using money to pay for health care that you've requested, they're going to pay a lower amount of that money to somebody else for blocking you from that health care. So saving them the majority of the money they would have spent on doing their job. And paying the rest to the AI company here.
It's like they're in a whole different business because they're no longer paying for healthcare. They're paying AI companies to prevent healthcare.
And this is from Medicare and Medicaid. It's not even from the for-profit health insurance world where you would expect crap like this. It's
overtime, Rob. You can say shit. Oh, and by the way, on that note, it's been brought to my attention that YouTube/Google puts captions on overtime on our shows. I'm not sure mm-hmm. when they do this. They don't do it immediately, but after, I think, a couple of days it takes them to do that. But for whatever reason, the prudes at Google don't like four-letter words. They don't like obscenities. So they put a line through certain words. It's true. Like what mm-hmm. I just said now, you won't see that on captioning. You'll see a series of dashes, which seems like one solid line. I'd like to mess with this somehow. First of all, why is it that I can say shit here, but mm-hmm. somebody who's hard of hearing will see a dash instead? Are the hard of hearing not allowed to hear swear words or see swear words? I mean, that seems to be kind of discriminatory. What do you think, Kyle?
Also, well, yeah, it does seem like you're corrupting the actual content that you're hosting
uh-huh.
for people who may or may not be able to actually consume it in its original form. And that is a disservice to people trying to access information. I also think that it's... I wonder if it extends. I wonder if it does the same thing for things that do not involve profanity. Because I could say things that I could think of a variety of things to say that do not have any kind of profanity in them, but would be profoundly offensive mm-hmm. and disgusting and beneath, I think, what people expect us to be saying. But yeah. I truly could. I could go off on things that would basically end a lot of stuff.
I can say shit and get a line, but if I say shite, I'm sure it'll spell it out. I look forward to seeing that line at some point. But the thing is, you know, we didn't ask for this. Now, I understand there might be a setting someplace where you can allow for obscenities, but it's by default this blocking is turned on. And I've also heard that even when you ask for it not to be turned on, it's turned on anyway. I don't know anything about this. Never experimented with it. This is the most I've cursed on a broadcast of any sort in a long time. But what I would like to do as kind of an experiment to see if we can generate the longest possible dash across the entire screen by maybe saying shit 20 times in a row. And I'll leave that open to anybody who wishes to do that. And then we can enjoy how it looks at some point, maybe take a picture of it. Yes, Gila.
I think it's a combination of a lot of factors. I think also it's just confusing the auto dictation machine. I think there are things that the system won't say. But at the same time, this does remind me of something that happened a few years ago. I had a colleague who almost exclusively dictated things to text. She used speech to text a lot and would send things without looking at them. So I used to get emails from her that were addressed to Killer. That's not my name.
How did that happen?
She would say Gila, and her phone
would say,
wrote it down as Killer.
How about that? Wow.
So, yeah, because we're not creating our own subtitles, it is the automated words. It is the automated system that is putting them together. And someone pointed out there are no subtitles available for this video right now. No, there are not. Probably, I'm assuming, there will be in the fullness of time. It's not live captioning us right now, right. But maybe, I don't know, tomorrow, next week.
Yeah, a couple of days. You know, the last show definitely has it, so it is put in. But when you're called, are you called Killer or Killa? Which is it?
It definitely came out Killer.
With a hard R.
With a hard R, yeah.
Like Killer Mike or something.
Like Killer Mike. Or Killer Whale.
Ghostface Gila.
Oh, boy. I want to see how the captioning interprets that.
I'm very excited. Oh. I'm curious to see how it'll just... Like, my name gets said not infrequently... Okay, one other thing really quickly. Before the blue screen of death was a thing, I watched someone do it. I watched a human being do it in real time. We had a substitute teacher who called my name or who was looking at the list and called the kid in alphabetical order in front of me and then looked at the list, looked up, looked at the list, looked up. I watched a human being blue screen in real time and then she just...
Oh, boy.
Skipped me and called the next person in line, and everyone in the class said, "You skipped Gila," and she said, "Oh, thank God, that's how you say it." I was like, "Lady, you're a licensed teacher."
How did it wind up there? I mean,
I've literally heard every permutation of it there is.
But so your school had you listed as Killer?
No, my school had me listed as Gila.
Okay.
And the sub couldn't read it off the sheet.
The sub was afraid to even attempt it.
Well, what's the worst that you could pronounce Gila?
Oh, try me. I've heard them all.
Okay.
Well. It could be Gila. It could be Jill. It could be Gail. There was a teacher who typed my name in to a word processor and accepted corrections. So both my first name and my last name were wrong on the first day of school.
So she mispronounces it. That's, you know, I thought it actually said Killer, and she was afraid to say that.
No, that didn't. That was just the first time I saw someone actually blue screen in real time.
Wow. That's a great
Killer,
image.
Killer with text-to-speech from a couple years ago. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Rob, go ahead.
So going back to the issue of our captions, I have long noticed, and as someone who has worked in the field of accessibility for those with particular needs and media production for those folks, when you go on YouTube, and in a lot of mass media content, a lot of corporate produced content, they will refuse to put swears in the captions that you can hear in the audio. And I believe I've mentioned this before, but if you go to a famous Rage Against the Machine song, and you are a hearing person, you can hear the singer go, "Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me." But if you're reading the lyrics in the captions, it will say, "Blank you, I won't do what you tell me." And that's on the official Rage Against the Machine account. Now with YouTube, I can understand why they won't let their automatic captioning robots write down swears, because in case they're wrong, imagine you're somebody who said something completely innocent, but then the system decides that you said shit, fuck shit. And, you know, then that comes out, and then you've shown that to people who didn't consent to such things, and, you know, terror ensues or whatever. But if you write in your captions manually, or you manually correct your captions on your YouTube video, you can put swears in there, and they will, to the best of my knowledge, I experimented this with this some time ago, you can have it You can have sweary captions if you put them in manually yourself.
So you're saying if I type in something, I can have what I typed in show up. Wow. Welcome to 1960. Okay. But the whole point of auto captioning is to get it right. And obviously, they don't have enough faith in their technology to say we're getting it right. Or maybe someday the captioning software will interpret the sentence and say, yeah, shit belongs here. So let's put that word there and not be afraid.
But also mass media has long basically infantilized those with disabilities or, you know, accessibility requirements to the point where you could put on VHSs of, you know, R-rated movies and find the captions censored. You could put on, you know, cable television where they're saying everything and, you know, you can't read it all because they refuse to put it into the captions. Well, it's a real problem out there.
I'm pretty sure HBO is doing the right thing with captioning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, funny thing, seeing Pulp Fiction on Channel 11 once, you know, which is a commercial TV station in New York, they aired a really sanitized version, and every single line had some other word substituted for the many obscenities that were in that. I don't even know why they bothered showing it. It's not the same film, but I would kill to get a copy of that version because wow, that was it was just. I think Quentin Tarantino, you know, did wanted his name off of it, you know, and Alan Smithy he wanted on that particular version. But yeah, okay, so you know what? I'm gonna just do this five times in a row. Shit, 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 shit. Now, okay, hopefully I got a long dash for that. If somebody wants to do 20 later on, I feel kind of stupid. In about 2 or 3 days, we'll see the product of. We have to watch the whole show to get to this point.
Now, does it have to be a bunch of short shits, or can it be one long shit?
Well, this is what science is all about, experimenting and seeing what the results are. So my five short shits or Rob's one big long shit. That's what we have to...
Or I have another... Now, I'm curious. I'm doing this for science. But the first thing that I thought of was Jay's rap from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, right? Uh-huh. And I'm curious how this is going to work. So if I said mother, mother, fuck, mother, mother, fuck, fuck, mother, fuck, mother, fuck, are we going to get the mothers and not the fuck?
You'll get a lot of mothers, yes. You'll get a lot of mothers separated by dashes. That's what I predict. Ooh. Go ahead, Kyle.
I want to say F, U, C, K.
Oh, you're clever. You're clever. That might show up. That might show up. What if you say it fast? What if you say F-U-C-K fast? You know, how's that going to show up? Oh, we're going to break. We're breaking Google tonight.
We really are. I would also like to point out that we are having a lively discussion in the chat, and people are now chiming in with their favorite clean for network television edits from movies, as in... from Drake and Black Knight, I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Monkey fighting snakes?
Monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane. Fidget Glitch reminds us this is what you get when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Okay.
And I was thinking of my own personal favorite, which is from The American President, when Michael J. Fox says, "You chicken lame." Ah!
Oh, I want to see that one now too. Do we allow cussing in the chat?
We do allow cussing in the chat.
But we could ban it. We could ban any word we want.
We could ban anything.
Yeah.
No.
We could. I'm just saying we wouldn't, but we could.
Let's keep it free. Keep it open. Let people say
as long
their
as no
piece.
One's being a dick.
Well, they can always be individually like kind of blocked, but that's not really our like forte. We want to hear from people, even if it has a little profanity. We can handle it. Trust me, we're grown ups. We can handle it.
We're laughing, but the fact is that we had Elon Musk banned for 3 months, and nobody noticed. Nobody even said it. So that's good. It's not banned now. You can say it, but why? What's the point?
Oh, that was a piece of news today. Did you hear he's not the richest person in the world anymore?
I can't imagine who would overtake him at this point. Well, he hasn't done that trillion-dollar thing yet. Apparently, he has to complete a series of tasks, and that's beyond him. Who overtook him? Somebody we've never heard of before?
No, sorry to say, I think it's Larry Ellison, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't care at all. Although, you know, these people, they could, like, solve so many problems, you know, in an instant. You know, mass transit, they could fund the Second Avenue subway. They could just do that. And they could have the Second Avenue subway named after them. Why not? I don't care. You know, they're all these projects that are, you know, high-speed rail across the United States. You know, that's what Elon Musk could do right now. He could make that happen in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. But he won't. All right, we've run out of things to say, so now we're going to open up the phone lines. And hang on a second, I got to do that manually. Yes. Our phone number is 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our phone number.
Put down social media. Stop looking at it. Everyone, listeners, just stop. I did it, and I put it down. Okay? So just stop looking at it. We're talking. This is your time to talk and listen. Don't be scrolling. Just forget that. It'll be there.
And as we've already demonstrated, there's no hum. So we don't want to hear about a hum. All right. See, that's a pristine dial tone that just called us for some reason. 802-321-4225. Let's stay on the line, though. You've got to stay on the line in order to talk. Gila, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I feel like if we get another hang-up, I'm probably going to start singing Never There, which is, you know, every time now I hear a busy signal, I start singing the show's theme song. And if I hear a dial tone, I tend to start singing Never There by Cake.
Wow.
Okay, I'll start. What is a feature of the telephone system you wish there was? And don't say smell. Come on. But, like, what would you like to see modern smartphones be able to do, or the telephones, or the video? Uh-huh. You know, what's the next thing you would love to see for us? And it can involve AI. We don't want to like limit that, but I want to stoke conversation. Or you know, what's something that should be hacked, or what's something that was hacked that you think, you know what, that was a long time coming. You know, something like that. Or tell us about a hack you noticed that maybe we haven't covered. We'd love to hear about things that are broken, things that we haven't seen coverage of. That's part of the purpose of what we do. And as always, oth@2600.com. Send us stories for the future.
A wish list of things to hack. I like that idea because maybe somebody out there can do it, and we will have inspired them.
I mean, going off of what I said earlier, yeah, I want to see people be a little more brazen, especially from the hacker community, because I think there's a huge generational thing where people of my age, people a little younger, their sense of what is possible to do with all the processing power we have. I have a Hope badge here, and I'm aware that it is itself an incredible microprocessor or microcontrollers. Like we have so many tools and capabilities now with, like,
that's last year's Hope badge.
The ability we have, and I just think people should be breaking things, should be, like, playing around with things and not feeling like there are as many consequences. And, frankly, I think there's a healthy amount of lawlessness in the current sort of state of our country. And if you are doing things with security, do them. Do them harder. Like, this is a great time for that because no one really cares about anything. And in my earnest opinion, there's not a lot going on. And frankly, there's a lot of enthusiasm for stuff that makes our networks and our systems better. And I don't want to get on the government or corporate side of things. It's not really my lane. But I will say, like, we should be doing more innovating, more experimenting, more breaking things open.
Amen, yes.
All those black boxes need to be clear. We need to know how all this stuff works, and we need to teach people how things work. I just think we're starving for that, and people are scared to do anything,
mm-hmm.
myself included. I mean, I want to break something. I want to break into something. I want to hack something, maybe as a challenge, maybe something innocent, maybe something that I build in my lab.
I've got a domain.
We should be doing it. We should be breaking our own operating systems, breaking things that are sitting ducks.
I've got a domain that you can hack, Kyle, a new domain that just was launched this week. And, Alex, I'm surprised you didn't mention it because it's a big deal. War.gov. War.gov was registered and launched in the last week.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's real. War.gov. That's what our Department of Defense is now. It looks so ridiculous. By the way, we have a very patient caller. We're going to get to you in a second. Gila, I know you had something to say. Go ahead.
Just we have some people chiming in the chat with suggestions for things they'd like to see phones be able to do. Hover in the air so you don't have to hold it.
Okay.
Have the call end tone sound like an old phone being slammed down on the receiver.
How would that – it would come over the – I hope you didn't hang up on the caller.
No, I was simulating.
But it would sound that way to the person on the other end of the phone, or where would that sound?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if someone is angry and ends your phone call, the fact that we're missing the context of the phone receiver being slammed down, like a little beep, beep, beep doesn't do it.
No, I agree.
I really like that. No, maybe on the person that does the slamming, like a long hold of the red telephone button. You long hold it, that equates to like a slam, and you get like a satisfying like ka-chunk and then like a little vibrate or something. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. Then you know you hung up on that fool.
You know what bugs me is, you know, when you watch people on TV having phone conversations, they have like these, you know, mundane back and forth conversations, and to move the plot along, the people don't say goodbye. They just hang up, you know? So he's going to meet me down there. Yeah, he's going to be there now. Click. It's like, fuck you. How dare you hang up? I would have called right back and say, who do you think you are hanging up on me like that? You know how many times Tony Soprano hung up on somebody during the entire series?
But
it's very rude.
But if Tony Soprano was like, bye, I mean, that's...
Okay, I'm not saying I want that either. I'm saying that a little bit of politeness goes a long way.
That's how people end calls now.
Nobody hangs up on me when I'm talking. We say goodbye, you know, like civilized people.
No, you very much...
All right, how about this then? How about this? When you press the red button and hang up, an auto-generated voice, maybe your voice, says goodbye, you know, like the ALL guy. Why not? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? That's a good idea.
Goodbye.
We have a caller who's been waiting a very long time.
Make him wait.
We have more suggestions, though, from the chat.
Okay, right, but the person is paying per minute to call us.
They're fine. They're fine. They're going to be there.
Hello, are you there? Caller.
Yes, I've been waiting very patiently. Oh. I'm a long-distance call. I know I'm making a long-distance call.
How much are you paying per minute, Rebel?
What? We pay. Wait, you want to know what the rates are per minute? Well, moment. Just one moment. You
want to
wait?
The rate and route operator. Look it up. It's a thing.
Okay,
I remember it used to be like 35 cents a minute.
I'm looking up the
rate. 35 cents for the first minute to call New York City from Long Island. And then I think it was 11.5 cents a minute after.
The rate is 15 cents for the first minute and 10 cents each additional minute.
Okay, you're not the person that you're imitating, and nobody believes it.
Did you just say that's a dime for additional minutes?
But if 11.5 cents is right, then there's something wrong with my head that I'm remembering that, you know, from old phone
bills. Oh, by the way, there's a hum.
You know, I'm gonna give you the courtesy, Rebel, of warning you that people who mention the hum, especially when we don't hear it, will get disconnected because we're sick of hearing about it as much as you're sick of hearing
it. Well, then I won't mention it. Well, but I could still hear you.
Good.
Anyway.
Because if you can't hear me, there's no point in talking, right?
I remember the AT&T or the Bell System Data Speed 40 terminal. It was by the Telex Company, which is an AT&T.
Yes. They still make stuff.
Kyle?
I don't remember that terminal. I know the Telex Company, and I know they are still active. They make headsets and stuff, and they make they do a lot with like the sports intercoms and stuff for like on-field stuff.
It's called the... Look it up online. It's called
Speed
40 terminal. No, it was a terminal.
We don't need homework.
1970s. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about it? What about that particular one?
What about it, Rebel?
How does it work? I mean, was that a computer terminal? Because it says it's Telex.
I don't think anybody really knows, but it was some kind of computer somewhere was there, I'm sure. But you reminded me of something, which I'll get to after you're gone.
Okay, well, I'll ask AI, and AI gives me, like...
What do you ask us for? AI knows everything. Ask AI.
Yeah, that's what's good about AI. Okay, now, you're talking about, like, the seven dirty words you can't say on the air, or the four-letter words that you can't say on the air?
Yeah, we said a few of them, but there's a bunch of other words that are offensive, too.
Let me see. Which one are they?
Freedom? Liberty?
I know fuck is one of them.
Rebel.
Shit.
Oh, my God. Can you believe this? Look what we've done. We've unleashed a monster.
Cocksucker.
Is that one of them? I don't think that's one of them either. I don't think the C word is
what?
In there.
Shit. Mm-hmm. Shit. It piss. Motherfucker. Yeah, shit. Piss. Fuck. Burp, cocksucker. Burp, motherfucker. Burp.
And tits. And tits shouldn't even burp. Be on the list, according to George Carlin.
Burp. Burp. Fart.
Fart is not one of them, Rebel. Come on, get real.
No. Like,
burp.
All right. And what are your closing thoughts here, Rebel? Because we want to open up the phone lines.
Yeah, that's like first grade vocab.
Yeah, we've managed to drive the conversation even lower than the usual standard.
All right, what else? Let's see. Yeah. The data speed 40. Is that the terminal that the boss, I remember that somebody in the phone company that used to work for the company said the data speed 40 was on a boss system, billing operations, it's something, it stands for something.
It sounds like you know more than we do about this.
I thought you would know more, that's why I'm asking you.
You would think that, but, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time playing with those particular devices.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is like internal. You'd have to actually have physical access, and a lot of the hackers back then were not really inside these companies using that stuff. You're better, like you said, talking to people that had experience with them. They can maybe reference some of the acronyms, some of the parts of the internal systems that were used, or the administrating systems. But it sounds like you have a lot of information about that. And if you can find some documentation, some more places where it's referenced, I'm sure you could use that to continue your search and find
I do. There is a big manual of that particular computer terminal, but it's like 100 pages. And, I mean, if you want, I think I forwarded it. Didn't I forward it to you? Maybe I didn't forward it.
Have AI summarize that document and ask it questions.
I don't like that.
Seriously, you could do something like that. I mean, use it and analyze it, or find specific pages that answer your question, and use that in your searches.
Oh, what about Dick? Is Dick one of those protections?
Yeah, Dick is banned. Anybody named Dick can't be said over the radio.
Dick is fine. Dick is a welcome member.
We're going to leave it there, Rebel. I'm going to give you a closing remark, because we want to move on.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, but the name is good, but if I said something like Kyle is a dick or something like that, would that get...
No, that doesn't get banned. No. No.
Okay.
I accept the compliment.
If you call him a prick, though, that's... We're talking about something else.
Okay.
All right. Rebel, always good to hear from you. And he's gone. Just like that. He didn't say goodbye. He did not say... Is he how offended I am right now? All right, anyway, what he reminded me of, when he said TTY, he reminded me of TDDs. And TDD, it's not a disease, it's a telecommunications device for the deaf, and they have relay operators, or they had relay operators. I'm not sure if they still have that service. I think...
Absolutely.
They do. Do they still use it?
Yeah.
I thought maybe technology made them...
No.
Well, regular operators don't exist anymore.
No. Relay is fully still a thing.
Well, 711, I think, is the number to call to get one of them. But the thing is, they have to type whatever you say. And you can say all manner of horrible things.
Yes.
And they have to type it. So if you ever want to have fun and waste their time, that's how you do it.
It's not always typing. I mean, that's for like a payphone with a keyboard. But if you have a friend that is a non-hearing deaf person that is in your contacts, they can call you. And a voice call will be initiated by a relay operator. And absolutely everything they say, like they could be talking about the most insane, wild night they had, and include all kinds of raunchy details, and that operator will say everything verbatim as the person who is deaf types, because they may not necessarily be speaking to the relay operator, but that is a form of relay that goes from text to voice through the relay operator themselves. And it's done the same way with video for like signing. If someone who's deaf needs to have someone speak to someone on their behalf, they will do a video call with the relay operator, and that relay operator will relay the conversation through voice or other means based on sign through the video call. But it's very often video conferencing is what's used.
I'm kind of surprised that there isn't an automated way of doing that where you type something and it's just read by a computer voice.
Well, for the deaf, I think sign is a faster way to communicate because mm-hmm. that's their normal way of conversing. So to right. type it may be more cumbersome, but I think both modes are supported by various relay services.
Uh-huh.
You'd have to get information from people that use that and know that kind of that universe more than I do.
Now, it has to be software that can interpret sign, though, in real time.
It's probably advanced, but I realize that conversing with deaf friends of mine and people in the past, they were way ahead.
Oh, yeah.
As far as using video conferencing. Like, I was very averse to using any kind of video or, like, video calls or anything for a very long time for obvious, I think, or maybe not so obvious reasons, being a hacker and a kind of understanding what all is encapsulated in those packets, including your visual presence and so on. But at this point, it's probably advanced even further, and you'd really have to talk to someone that mm-hmm. uses that stuff every day. It may be more of like what I was saying, as it was, I think, gosh, it's been a long time since I've had a call from deaf person. But
well, I'd like to receive a call here from someone hard of hearing that we can have a back-and-forth conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. We'd love to speak with someone through a relay operator at some point. But, yeah, it may have advanced in the last 10, 15 years or more, but it could also be more along the lines of what I said, which has been, I think, was at the time a very standard way of doing it, and that has been something that is required and necessary. It's mandated
mm-hmm.
so that people can access and go about their daily lives with the hearing world. And
I think we have another call.
We do, yeah.
Patient as well. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Howdy. This is a little off topic. I apologize, but I figured it should get out there.
Sure.
I got a letter from Ascension Medical.
Okay.
I'll read part of it here. Dear valued patient, thank you for trusting Ascension Wisconsin with your medical care. You are receiving this letter because our records indicate that you may be covered by United Healthcare Insurance Plan and visit an Ascension location in the past year. We want to make you aware of a situation that could negatively impact the insurance coverage of your care in the future at Ascension Medical. Unfortunately, United Healthcare, one of the largest and most profitable insurance companies in the country, reporting tens of millions of dollars in annual profits, has refused to offer rates that reflect today's dramatic financial realities facing health systems. Hospitals across the nation are experiencing the sharpest cost increase in decades. Historic inflation, skyrocketing medical prices, and higher costs for life-saving equipment and supplies. United Healthcare's proposal doesn't even keep pace with a basic cost of living increase, let alone the extraordinary inflation health systems are battling. While United Healthcare continues to post record profits and rewards shareholders, it refuses to adequately reimburse the providers delivering your care. It goes on basically blaming United Healthcare. And it's just,
yeah.
The big recommendation is to explore medical advantages of other in-care networks.
Interesting. It's kind of like when CBS gets into a fight with your local cable company, and both of them trade barbs at each other and expect you to take sides. I think that's what's happening here. You have one company saying this other company isn't acting fairly. It shouldn't be something that you have to worry about. It should be something they work out, and there should be options, obviously.
Yeah, and they're both Goliaths. I mean, they both make. I mean, I don't even know, but
mm-hmm.
I'm sure, I don't know, I want to know which one's more at blame.
That's a good question.
Who's more greedy?
Yeah, well, they probably all are. Kyle, did you have something to add?
I just want to emphasize that it's important, people, in this moment where we're seeing a lot of deregulation coupled with this insane sort of inflationary stuff, you got to really, really watch your back with your interactions in a lot of these corporations, a lot of the just everyday stuff people are trying to do, especially in healthcare. things can get out of control quickly with costs. People are looking for a buck at every corner, and we, unfortunately, have got to bolster our defenses as consumers and do a lot of what may have been something that was protected, or at least the threat of regulation had some teeth in so far as curbing these practices. But in the direction we're going, it's making it really desirable, really easy, too, with automation to target and pass the buck, in other words. It sounds like this company's passing the buck from their overlords to the consumer, and the consumer very often ends up holding the bag, like mm-hmm. being on the hook for these expenses. And you absolutely have to be vigilant. We got to share about this. Thank you very much for telling us about this letter.
Yeah.
And keep that kind of information coming. We'd love to get word out if it's relevant to the stuff we talk about, but also to share internally with other people. The more people are aware, the more people understand the pitfalls and some of these fly-by-night companies or companies that have become fly-by-night or fly-by-night curious, whatever it is, like, we got to really protect ourselves, as always, but in this day and age, even more, because money's getting real tight and overhead and some of this stuff for these entities that are not as agile is making it a permissible environment, making these kinds of behaviors more common. And we just really got to fight it, defend ourselves, protect ourselves, everything you can do. Be aware, be vigilant. So, yeah,
you would think United Healthcare, with all the bad publicity they've been getting, that they wouldn't want to push for more. I mean, I don't know. It's just,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, it's the too big to care thing
that
a lot of the tech companies kind of pioneered. It's that they're a massive, massive provider. They have all these groups, massive and corporate accounts that handle all kinds of people. They can really afford to fight this, just like people can afford to pay AI companies to deny coverage. It's just a shrewd business thing. Like, well, why, if we can automate and increase our ability to avoid payouts, they look at that as a business model. Like, why would we be leaking money with payouts that some overly generous pencil pusher way down in the depths of management somewhere is, you know, a bleeding heart for allowing payouts to people, when we can just have this cold model go through and reject people wholesale
on
technicalities or otherwise?
Can I ask how long ago you got this letter?
I got it September 2nd, and the coverage beginning October 1st, 2025.
So I can almost guarantee you that within the next couple of weeks, you're going to get a letter from the other guys saying how...
Oh, no, I already have one.
Oh, they sent you one, too?
Yeah, they sent it a month longer. They gave me 2 months.
Okay, wow. I'm not sure how to advise you here, because
it feels like it's not to be sexist. It feels like they're just two dudes comparing and seeing who's bigger. I mean, that's what it boils down to. They know each other or something. I don't know.
They probably do. They probably all know each other. Gila, go ahead. You might not be able to hear her, but go ahead. Actually, we can't hear because I didn't press the right button. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that's not helpful. It happened here, and United Healthcare and Mount Sinai, the Mount Sinai Health System, got into a big old fight.
Uh-huh.
And Mount Sinai was out of network for like 10 days here.
Something like that,
yeah.
They're going to swing their dicks at each other for a while. It'll come down to the wire. Someone will get right. I promise you, United Healthcare is not going to stop reimbursing services at Ascension. It's physically impossible. The only other thing they could do that would be worse would be to stop paying for the UW healthcare system.
It doesn't make sense then, because how many people are they losing switching coverage right now? I mean, you're right. They don't care about. I mean, they don't care.
That's ultimately United's going to cave. It's just going to take a minute, and they need to show their shareholders they're not just rolling over on this. It's ugly, and it puts the healthcare consumer in a really precarious place. But given the ubiquity of the Ascension system in Wisconsin you're going to be fine.
Well, that's...
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was count tonight. Are you not, Gila?
I'm not, but my family lives there.
Okay. So some comfort there from fellow Midwesterners.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for sharing that with us. Very insightful.
Have a great rest of your day.
All right, you too. You know, it's something that really gets to me when we, you know, or patients have to deal with this crap. You know, we shouldn't have to. This is billing. Billing is not the same thing as healthcare. You should get healthcare. And billing should be something that the billing people worry about. You know how when you go see your doctor, you know, the guy who went to medical school, and you ask him specific billing questions, they always say, that's not something I know anything about. And that's the way it should be. You want them to know about medical issues because that's what they're there for. You're the patient. You should know about your body and what it is that you want and how you feel and all that kind of thing. And billing should not enter into that discussion either. You know, until we reach a stage where that's a given, as it is in many other countries, we're going to have some really poor health care in this country. Gila, go ahead.
And it's exactly the same discussion that cable providers or different television aggregators, I suppose, have with the networks and those corporations. Mm-hmm. The fact that every single financial decision in this country is treated as the same sort of thing, the fact that you might have to change medical providers midstream is being equated to you may not be able to get ESPN mm-hmm. on your TV. Like I
a far greater crisis for many people.
I detest the place that our nation is in right now, that those two things are equivalent to each other in so many ways. Why is it that you have to sit on tensor hooks to see how that's going to play out?
You know, it sounds crazy, but it's not unrealistic. A cable company will merge with a healthcare company and offer ESPN as part of your healthcare package that you can either opt in or out of, and people will be a lot more informed.
I mean, frankly, I'd rather have ESPN connected to my doctor's office than, like, say, I don't know, Fox News. But that's just me.
We should all have such choices.
We have a call.
We do have a call. Okay, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, it is Lou Raichu from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital.
How you doing?
I have replaced the microphone in this handset, so I'm interested to see how I sound afterwards.
We hear you.
Yeah, we hear you, and we hope you hear us. We don't want to hear any talk of a hum.
Hey, well, we hear each other. That's all that matters.
All right.
It doesn't matter the hum. But, I mean, I do hear the hum.
I asked not to hear that phrase.
That's how we keep it
going. Please, let's keep the conversation going in a different direction.
I mean, I don't have much to say about the... I mean, I do agree with the points made about the healthcare company situation.
Uh-huh.
Like, having it... Comparing it to what the cable companies are doing, I think, is a really fun analog.
Yeah, it is fun, actually. It's something that we should all pay attention to as much.
In corporate America, there's got to be a certain set of behaviors that are exhibited by almost any beastly organization, and I'd like to, you know, figure out exactly what those are exactly.
Uh-huh.
Oops, I just used the same thing. Anyways,
hey, you're in Washington D.C., right?
Yes, I have seen some of the National Guard troops. They're standing around at the World War II memorial.
Just read my mind. So, what are they? Have you interacted with them? What are they doing?
No, just seen them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they look calm, complacent, totally not ready to stand on anybody's chest. I honestly think that they're all just bored. I mean, they're looking for crime that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
With or without these thugs hanging around our city, and now they even want to go to Chicago. I hope not.
It's unbelievable what's happening. But, you know, there is crime, but there's crime that's still taking place despite this massive military presence. And, you know, the crime has gone down. We all know this. But they're not having any effect other than to intimidate the residents and just be a very bad precedent for this country that we might never get out of.
That's sort of along the lines of what I was thinking. I mean, like I said, they're just standing around, so nothing they seem to be doing seems to be working. They don't look like they're actively doing anything. anything, in my opinion.
Well, I wish I could tell you try this experiment with them, but that could be dangerous. Just keep your eyes open and notice whatever you can.
Okay, you know, I'll probably have to run that through Alex first. I mean, well, we live in a country where ICE is publishing posters using Nazi slogans. Which way, American man? As is the header of the poster. I mean, you really can't be surprised at what is happening daily in this administration. You really got to hope that if this is able to be cleaned up quite effectively afterwards.
Yeah.
There is an afterwards.
Yeah, and making good decisions, I think, is the key to that. And paying attention, not giving up. And I think everybody listening can share that.
Right, right. I agree with so much on that show, and that kind of scares me.
All right. Good hearing from you.
I have an idea.
Go ahead.
You know, Rebel calls in the show so many times. I call the show most of the times when I'm able to, so I'm just trying to be slightly less of a douche than he is, but, you know, how about, like, what if, you know, you program your phone so that when he calls in, it transfers him into a simulation matrix where he thinks he's on the show, but it's actually not. All the hosts' voices are synthesized by AI, and they're answering his questions for a couple minutes. As the usual, Rick, hang up on him after a few minutes. He thinks he's called in. He thinks he's got an answer to his pointless telecommunications equipment-related answer. And
what if we told you that this is a simulation?
How would you know? How do we know that we're not all living in a simulation matrix?
We know. Maybe you don't.
Oh, well, you can pinch yourself and see how.
Yeah, that's how we know.
Ow.
He was programmed to say that.
Another topic I'd like to get to, something I recently learned about a month ago at DEF CON.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there is one speaker who submitted two talks that were completely generated by artificial intelligence. They are titled Devirtualizing the Dragon, Automated Unpacking and Deobfuscation of Nested VM-Based Protectors. What a lovely name! And then the second talk, because you really couldn't believe this person got two talks approved by the lovely staff at DEF CON. The second talk is called Jailbreaking the Hive Mind, Finding and Exploiting Kernel Vulnerabilities in the EBPM Subsystem. And you know what makes this funny is that DEF CON, historically, has had such a tight, rigorous, you know, specifications for what kind of talks get accepted or not. And, well, I mean, this gives the people saying DEF CON is such a corporate sleaze fest now. It gives them more ammunition, definitely, for sure.
I'm curious, how were the talks? Those talks were approved, you said? That means they had to be given.
They were approved. They were given by the speaker. I'm not going to drop. I don't think it would be helpful to drop his name, but I already gave you the name of his two talks, so you can go look them up.
But I assume they're human, right? A human showed up.
How could we really know? Well, according to third-party reports, it was a real live human being who came up there, gave the talk. The slides are up there online you can look at, so...
So when the human gave the talk, did they admit that this was AI-generated?
No.
Then how do you know?
I'm just going off reports. Other people, many others who attended the talk have given...
Uh-huh. Other people?
I mean, right.
Okay.
Well, if you look at the slides themselves, you can see there is some degree of human involvement. You know, somebody had to go make the slides, you know, set how the typeface they wanted to use, the colors. He put emojis in there specifically, but according to other people, they are saying that the attendees at this talk were feeling pretty confused, and, you know, most of them, I think... But the general consensus is that this is AI slop. And if you look at the code for this particular project that this speaker presented called VM Dragon Slayer. It's on GitHub. It seems to be, you know, a lot of vibe coding going on. You know, the phenomenon where people just ask AI to write code for them and, you know, not do too much vetting of the output, which is severely severely disastrous for.
Is it going to catch that one?
State of computer programming in general. I mean, if people are not going to understand the languages they're writing, then the quality of code is going to go.
Not understanding things is the theme of the future, I think. You know, if you already don't understand how technology works, we're going to understand even less if we let AI make all the decisions.
Yeah, this was already an ongoing thing before the advent of artificial intelligence and large language models, in that people were not writing secure code, and there was a lot of lack of understanding about how you format, how you set things up, how you debug, how you use tools, other tools to audit your own work, like fuzzing or whatever techniques. I'm not a developer myself, but this has been something that we're sort of revisiting with a new bottle, same wine. I think that was referenced in the show. But yeah, like it's important to, like, get the fundamentals for stuff down before you start trying to do stuff at a high level and then, God, present it at DEF CON. I would be so embarrassed to spend time on a stage with stuff I didn't really understand trying to sound like. It just seems like a form of cosplay.
I would have had fun with it. I mean, you know, if everybody was fooled, I would have made that the topic of the whole, but two talks, I don't know how you get away with two talks.
I can see it being fun, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, wow, if I was trying to take myself seriously with that level of work, I mean, you're just missing so many fundamentals.
Yeah.
I mean, this happens with certain languages that you use, because they're not all the same, and they have different abilities to, I don't know, to be concise or to be readable even to other developers so that they can audit it. That's all important knowledge that you gain over time, I think. And to just jump in and, like, be an expert because you're vibe coding, that's some real foolhardy stuff. But I guess we're living in an era where people accept that. But I don't think it's great.
I think, just like the word vibe coding.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like... Yeah, it's like vaporwave, right? Anyway, that's just my take on it. That, like, yeah, we should really scrutinize people that are coming through with all this, like, slop, as you say, masquerading as real, like, intellectual investment. I'd rather see smaller snippets that actually make sense, that can be explained, that instead of just like, oh yeah, I've done all this work, it's all on GitHub. Like, that itself, given a pass, is really, it's not edifying. You're not advancing knowledge. You're not teaching people what your process was. You're not showing your work very well.
Exactly.
You're showing work, but it's not yours.
Not your work.
You're not comprehending. And I think that's a bad example, as you said, going forward, because there are a lot of people in school. I know being software developer is probably not a big ticket major as it was when I was coming up in school. Everybody wanted to be a developer. Everybody wanted to go work
for Google.
I feel
so sorry for them.
I know. I'm super feeling super smug that that's not the path I took, when for a very long time I felt like I was screwed out of any chance at anything because that was lauded so much. But I think to realize we have generations of people coming up that they learned, like, with learning, you know, they learned code through, like, toys and learning, and it was like a very big part of early education. And if it wasn't to just like adopt this kind of really simplistic coding and to call yourself sort of a developer in some way is to really spit in the face of a lot of shoulders and people that toiled with this stuff over the years. And I just find that really pathetic. It's like, we've run into the same thing. I can't help but come up with parallels to the old telephone systems and the way modern telephone systems work and people not understanding dial tone or not understanding. I mean, we evangelize, we try to talk about this. We don't fault people. We certainly don't, like, respect them if they come through and they don't know what switching systems evolved into the current system that we use now, or, you know, yeah, I mean, you should kind of know what, like, SS7 is. You should kind of know, like, how the POTS network developed and where it all fit in. And not to say that you can't jump in and use the modern tools, but this is a great example that we should show this stuff for being incomplete and laud people that put in the effort and show an understanding of it. And having this slip by, I think, I know DEF CON will probably, they'll survive, they'll evolve, they'll come up with a way to, like, maybe catch stuff if that's indeed what happened in this case, but it doesn't bolster their identity or their brand to have stuff like this slip through a lot. And as a community and as a broader society, like, we really need to encourage people to understand this stuff. And if they don't, they need to admit it. Mm-hmm. It's not cool to just, like, finesse your way through this stuff, because if you end up working someplace and you got a gig and you got down through lying a whole bunch, and then all of a sudden you're in production running critical systems for something because you just lied your way through and got a job and got a position and stature, that's really bad. It's really bad professionally, and it's really bad for all the systems I was talking about being eaten alive.
Well, hopefully that addresses all your issues, caller.
Well, it just goes to show that, you know, future generations won't go to DEF CON for the talks. They'll just go there for the drinking and partying.
Well, that's why anybody goes to Vegas. But, but yeah, you know, there's these things can happen at any conference, I think, including ours. So we all have to, you know, watch out and have this is fairly new. You know, it's something that a lot of people did not think was going to happen, and it is, and we all have to deal with it one way or another, and hopefully we agree on the way to deal with it.
Well, apparently in 2019, there was a similar incident at Black Hat, which, on the scale of hacker conferences, is lower, probably lower than DEF CON.
Well, it's not really a hacker conference so much as a security conference for corporate people.
Right. I should have called it a security conference, but a similar incident happened in 2019 where somebody tried to do the same thing, and they ended up obliterating the talk from the track, destroying the recording.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay, well, that's not something I would recommend, because you don't want to just pretend something didn't happen.
Right.
Leave that to the government.
To talk about Burger King and how they got epically pwned, you know, accessing the drive-through recordings, that reminds me of what that turns out to be Kevin Mitnick's favorite prank he did when he was 16 years old. He used a radio to I believe it was a 5-watt rated transceiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I looked this up before the show, and they don't mention specifically what kind of radio he used. I'd probably have to read his book. I'd assume it would be...
It'd be what? Hello?
Sounds like the internet dropped for them, because I know they're using a VoIP system.
How do you know that?
It's just the way it faded.
Oh.
It just seemed like packets.
Let's wait for them to disappear, because they might come back.
It's not hung up yet.
Okay, so if the caller can hear us, we're still here. You're not. Wherever you are is not connected to what we're doing, but please feel free to pipe up when you come back, if you come back. Gila has her hand up, so she gets called on next.
I do. Kyle, there was a comment in the chat from the most interesting man in the world that I wanted to share with you.
Wait, is that the name they gave themselves, or is that your opinion?
The name they gave themselves, the handle they're using on YouTube is 2X's. So I assumed it's the Dos Equis guy.
Oh.
Yes.
Good on you. Yeah, no, that's great.
What was their comment?
Oh, shout out. Our caller is gone officially. All right. Go ahead.
Shout out to Kyle for all his work on the audio. From a listener perspective, it sounds great, and it seems like the callers can hear Emmanuel.
And that's all that matters, isn't it? But yes, thank you.
We're doing our best.
Yes.
We're doing our best with what we have.
Well, Kyle has really bent over backwards to get this working.
And actually, we've established that the callers can hear us too.
Yes.
So
that's always good. That's Alex, you're back. You've been away.
Yeah,
you've been on the phone.
I've been dealing with things.
Yeah, the Wednesday night things that always seem to happen on Wednesday nights.
Crises, you know. But I'm here, and I'm chiming in to echo the same sentiment of gratitude for Kyle's work here on the board.
Well, we built a lot, and it's only going to get better. It's not going away. Like, we definitely built out all we need, so we can add and upgrade and make it better, and it's a labor of love. So we're gonna find time.
Appreciate you.
Before we take the next caller, which is it the same caller as before, or is it?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I want to. I found the list of seven dirty words that basically was defined from the George Carlin routine that was played on WBAI. Yeah.
Whoa. Hang on here a second. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah.
You didn't know them by heart? You had to look this up?
I want to get it right. I was wrong. I said the C word wasn't in there, and it is in there. It is in there.
Oh, yes, it definitely. I could have told you.
Well, you should have. You should have stood up for the C word. But you didn't.
Cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
All right. Fine. But, you know, you have to say it clearly, and that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to say it clearly without somebody talking at the same time and without another word interfering. Then we're going to try something else. Go ahead.
This is so going to get sampled.
Why would this get sampled? Anybody
just
can do it.
Just do it. Make it nice and clear for everybody's
all right. So basically, I'm going to try. The goal is to have all seven dashes in a row. Now, that might not happen because there's other syllables on some of the words. So you might get those syllables that aren't obscene in the FCC's eyes.
Make sure you enunciate.
I'm going to enunciate. This is part of speech therapy. All right. Here we go. I got my glasses on. There we go. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. There. Now, thank you very much. That's a low in my radio career. But the goal here is on the captioning that's on YouTube in a couple of days. They have taken to putting dashes through what they consider to be obscenities. I want to know if I get seven dashes or if I get a bunch of dashes. With words like maybe cock and mother not dashed out. And like I said, tits shouldn't even be on the list. That should not, it's ridiculous. Piss, I hear that on TV, commercial TV. So I don't know what they're thinking. Yes, Rob, please.
For those interested in looking up the seven dirty words on Wikipedia, you might notice a photograph in the article. And the photograph is a photo I took in an old WBAI broadcast booth in which there are big posters of the WBAI and 99.5 FM call sign and also a poster of the seven dirty words. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. And that is on the Wikipedia article for the seven dirty words themselves. It's on the Wikipedia article for WBAI. It's on the Wikipedia article for the case FCC versus Pacifica Foundation, which was spawned from playing this George Carlin bit on the air. And that's actually something that I'm quite proud of. The fact that the photo I took has been illustrating these articles. And yeah, it was always fun when we would be in that broadcast booth on the air. And, you know, you'd have one of those moments where you're trying to think of something to say and you look around the booth and there is a big poster of the very things you cannot say in the booth on the air.
And yeah, I was always really wary of that thing for the exact reason. It's like, okay, we're here in the radio station and you have a giant poster board of all the things we're not supposed to say. How is this not transmuting somehow subconsciously to somebody who just blurts out one of the words?
Yeah, we had to put a big sign saying, do not say these words. This is something that's going to stick in your mind and you're just going to say it naturally.
We have a call.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But I just wanted to ask people if they're comfortable doing this later on. When we finish up, I want to get that long dash. I already said shit five times in a row. I like to say it five times in a row, but I also want to test to see if it differentiates between people. So if we are all comfortable saying shit five times in a row in succession, we see if we get a five-person line of dashes across the screen when this thing does get captioned in a couple of days. That's the experiment I'd like to try after this call. Is everybody comfortable with that, or does anybody have?
Yeah, but I think we should vote on the expletive that we're going to state.
Any expletive?
I don't know why you have to unilaterally choose shit.
Well, it does. Shit rolls off the tongue.
I guess so.
And I regret saying that as soon as I said it.
Have you yet been able to master baseball?
Okay, you're referring to a previous show where I just unfortunately said that phrase. These things happen, Gila, and they happen to everybody. Alex, pick your obscenity, and we'll do that later. I don't let it be piss or tits, because it's debatable whether those are really obscenities.
That's true. And yeah.
Not the C word, maybe, because I don't like saying that word.
Yeah, I don't like saying it either, and it doesn't roll off the tongue either. So
yes, if we were all just saying cocksucker over and over and over again.
And that wouldn't work because you know, at least one syllable of that probably is okay. All right, let's take this call. Good evening. You're on Off the Gum Time. Go ahead.
Okay. So on the show tonight, you know, on WBAI show, you said that Burger King drive-thru conversations are going to some AI system.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you can hack their system by virtue of what you say at a drive-thru.
So how would that work?
I'm not sure of the details. You see if the things you say,
this is like
being analyzed by AI.
Okay.
And by choice of what you say, can you find vulnerabilities in the AI system?
Right. Like, could you add clutter or things that the AI might recognize as a command, like ignore all previous instructions or whatever that phrase is, and other things that might trigger it to do something outside of what it's meant to interpret, just like plain transcribing, like you said?
Right. The idea is to see if what you say going into the AI system can somehow do something that it's not intended to do.
So do you have any thoughts in mind as to something you might want to try?
Not at the moment.
Okay, well, we can all explore this.
Like command line syntax, something from an instruction.
Keep in mind there's a person in there, too. You're going to be speaking gibberish to somebody who's trying to get you food.
You just drop some commands in between your fry and your drink selection.
We can have a lot of fun with this. Alex, I know you want to say something. I'm not sure if the caller can hear you, but go ahead.
It just kind of totally slipped out of my mind. I did have something to say to the caller about this, and it's gone now.
Well, that's a good test. Caller, did you hear him?
I heard him, but I'm not sure exactly what he said.
Yeah, then you heard the way we hear him. So that's
Alex.
Yeah. That's Alex. You got it. Okay.
That's just the problem. Yeah.
Was there
any
other thoughts that you might have, caller?
You said that you hate the M dash.
I do.
You said that on the show?
I do.
What sort of dash are you going to get when Google translates or transcribes what people say, except leaves out as dashes that the thing?
Look, there's only one. I'm a proofreader. I'm an editor. There's only one dash that's acceptable to me, and that's the hyphen, because on a keyboard you can't just generate an M dash. I mean, yeah, I know you can, but it's not a key.
Yeah.
You know, there's the underline, but that's not a dash. So everything that I have to process, it's going to display weird unless it's a hyphen, and that's just the way it's always been.
In Windows, you can hold down the Alt key and type on the keypad.
I know you can hold down the Alt key and do all kinds of magical things, but, you know, I like to be right in front of me, letters and symbols. And if it's not there, there is some software somewhere that's going to display it wrong, confuse people. Yeah, I know on a typesetting machine this is not a problem. I used to work on one of those. But, you know, what's wrong with hyphens? They do the job.
Is this the longer dash?
Yeah, it's really. There's actually two. There's an N dash and there's an M dash. So I know about them.
And you're talking about getting Unicode or some kind of, like, jarble of characters instead of the actual glyph.
It's just, look, when you have accents and umlauts and things like that, you know, that's important, and you need to make sure those display properly. I'm just saying, you don't really need an M dash. You don't really need an N dash when a hyphen does the same thing. Alex, I know you have something to say about this. All right, now let's see if we can hear him. Go ahead.
First, I want to ask you a question. and I guess just yes or no answer is fine, but were you impressed when I submitted my column to you this month and I had actually pre-changed all of the M-dashes to dashes?
I was impressed by the fact that you took pains to point that out to me when you submitted it, yeah. But I would have been impressed had you not done that, too.
Okay, yeah. I see, yeah. I mean, that wasn't a yes or no answer, but I guess that'll do. But there are distinct usages, grammatical usages of these terms. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you replace what should be an M-dash with a hyphen, you're doing something that's grammatically incorrect. So
a hyphen is not grammar.
Oh my God.
Hyphen is not grammar.
Oh, it is.
Punctuation is different.
Well, I guess, you know, now mm-hmm. we're quite literally playing semantics.
Who majored in English?
I did, too. I did
English. You majored in English?
Yeah, I did.
I did, too.
Aguila did, too.
Just like you. But
well, that's,
that M-dash, you learn in law school.
That's disappointing to hear.
Yeah. But the M-dash is actually a much longer dash when you see it in person. Most people use the N-dash as the M-dash and get it wrong. And the N-dash with the N for November is usually for denoting either like a date range or some kind of page span, some kind of span of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you use that for. The M-dash is really the one that you use to set off a certain clause in a sentence. And the hyphen, you know, I actually don't even recall specifically. I think the hyphen is used for like a page span dash type thing. And you're looking this up right now.
Well, no, I'm doing something else. But actually, we're being rude to our caller. Caller, do you have any other points before we lapse into this tangent?
Well, I've heard of M-dash because you're trying to make long dashes appear in the transcript of what people say when they do it for your overtime show.
Uh-huh. Well, those dashes, yeah, I mean, we don't generate those, but the dashes that will appear and to replace obscenities, those will probably be M-dashes.
Yeah. And the character entity for M-dash in HTML is ampersand M-dash semicolon.
Yeah, it's not something that I would just type easily, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
Take care. And that's going to be the last call because, boy, we've gone overtime this time on overtime. Alex, okay, so I'm going to meet your challenge here, or you're going to meet my challenge, hopefully. So, M-dash. Okay, you know what? I've decided to accept M-dash as my savior. And I am currently right now on a Ubuntu system. I have VI open. VI is a text editor. Tell me how to make an M-dash display. Now, I'll start. Here's a hyphen. I typed hyphen. There's a hyphen there. Can you do the same thing with an M-dash? And please, we only have a few minutes.
Let me say, we just got to figure out what the ASCII code for an M-dash is.
Don't you know what the code is for the M-dash that you use all the time, that you're standing up here and defending?
Hmm? Yeah, that was one of the questions for Hacker Initiation.
It's Alt 0151. Everybody knows that.
Okay, wait. Alt?
Obviously.
Do I hold it down at the same time? I hit Alt first.
Alt and then 0151, and then let go of Alt.
Okay, 0151. Alt 0151.
Yep.
Then what?
And then you just release Alt and it's been displayed.
Nothing shows up on my screen. I'll hit return.
No.
You
might be having an ID 10T error.
I think you screwed up my system here. I can't. Nothing's working.
Wow.
It's totally screwed up now. Thanks, Alex.
Look at that.
You put me into some weird mode. Let's try that again. Alt what?
Alt 0151.
And let go of Alt. Yeah, and that totally freezes up my screen when I do that in VI.
That's crazy.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm gonna go to a prompt now. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work differently.
Comment from the chat.
Okay.
Someone says, "I don't know what it is, but I bet it's easier than the shortcut to quit."
The shortcut to quit what? VI?
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Escape shift colon Q.
It's
bang.
Colon Q
bang
exclamation point because
bang.
People know what the hell bang is.
Bang.
But yes, you're right. Okay, I'm going to try this at the prompt, Alex, and this is your last chance. So it's Alt what now?
0151.
151. Let go of Alt. No, nothing happens. I'm sorry, Alex. When you can tell me how to make an M dash appear easily in a simple text editor,
okay,
then I will
try
believe
this.
That. Okay, another. Go.
Try this. Try Control Shift U.
Hold on. Should I?
Oh my God.
I don't have that many fingers.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. Should I be in VI for this, or should I be?
I think you need to change your keyboard layout.
Yeah, I need to do all these things just to make a goddamn M dash.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
No.
Control capital U.
Should we take this
Control
call?
Capital U. How about
control
that, Alex?
Control K and
yeah,
capital
so
M.
Control shift U.
Okay.
Right?
Control shift U.
And then do and then type 2014.
Wait, do I have my fingers still down on any of these keys?
No.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Then
I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna try this again because I got totally distracted.
Okay.
Say it quicker so that I don't.
Control shift and then U.
Okay. Yeah. Then what?
Okay. Now you have to type in 2014. Enter.
It shows 2014 on my screen, by the way.
Okay. Hit enter.
I did.
Okay.
And hop on 1 foot.
You are proving my point so marvelously.
Yeah.
Now
I'm reading the comment more closely, and it's saying that what I told you to do didn't work.
Why would you put that? Oh, my God.
Well, that makes sense. I was just.
Link.
We should take this call.
Why?
Thank you.
I said the last call. This person already has gone against our directives. All right,
it's
fine.
More interesting.
Close your eyes and jump.
The whole point was for you to optimize accepting things, not for how easily you could do the thing you don't want people to do. But, of course, we spent a lot of time on it, so let's take this call.
All right, one more call. This is the last call to everybody out there, all right, past or present, and we're going to do the obscenities in a minute. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, hi. I'm glad you took my call. But what I wanted to say, just a couple quick things, since I know you got to go.
Okay.
But, I wanted to say, first of all, as far as the phones and the new things, the new technology that I would like to see in phones,
mm-hmm.
I would like to see phones be able to do a lot of medical stuff. So I would like a phone to be able to take your blood pressure. I'd like you to be able to use your phone to do scans, like CAT scans, MRIs, and all those type of things. As crazy as that sounds, I really think this would happen at some point, and it would save a lot of lives. Like, imagine if you could just use your phone to do a CAT scan on yourself or something and look inside your body or whatever.
Well, you're absolutely spot on. A lot of portable ultrasounds are being developed that are very small and couple with wireless handsets. That's ultrasound. A CAT scan, MRI, those use much different physics and, of course, have all kinds of esoteric antimatter and nitrogen and liquid oxygen, all this crazy stuff. So those systems are a little bit harder, don't really scale down, if you'll accept the turn of phrase. But ultrasound is something that has been used in smaller and smaller platforms. Also, I'm thinking of like pulse oximeter. There are very small ones now that can test your blood oxygen and pulse and stuff like that, which is something you mentioned. But or even things like a sonogram or like an X or I already said ultrasound or sonogram or something that you could use like on veins or something that just below the skin surface. You're close. I mean, we're very close to having that as something that is merely a component that is integrated into a new model. But I love that. Thank you for answering the question. Those are great ideas.
Can I just ask a question here? Why are we still calling these things phones? Because they're not doing phone things. They're doing everything. But, you know, we actually use the phone part less than any of the other apps.
I also want to say something else. There's a caller who called in earlier, and he said something about the National Guard in D.C. just standing around and they're not doing anything and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, just standing around is a deterrent. I mean, it may seem like they're not doing anything, but them just being there. I'm not even a Trump supporter. I consider myself more of a centrist than anything. But on this particular issue, I think something like this needs to be done. D.C., to me, I'm not sure why he's even doing this in D.C. because there's not any kind of crazy amount of crime going on there.
It's a unique city. It's a unique city. He can do it in D.C. because it's federalized. He can do it for 30 days. So that's, you know, it's kind of
Yeah, but there's not, I mean, D.C. is, I mean, you go to Memphis, you go to Chicago. I mean, those are real war zones. So I'm not even sure what it seems like a waste of time.
Well, he won't go to any city that's in a red state. Or a red city.
That's the problem. This is the thing. This is the issue I have with it. To me, this something like this needs to be done, in my opinion. Something like what he's doing, something drastic. But the problem with him is that it's all politics, and he's just doing it to embarrass Democrats. So he's only going into cities with Democratic governors and so forth. He's not going into red states. Like, he's not going to Memphis is like the number one most dangerous city in America. He's not going there because it's in the red state.
Right.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, no, you raise a very good point. I just would take some exception to saying that as the deterrent because, you know, crime is still happening. You can have a million soldiers in the street, but if they're not where the crime is taking place, what are they going to be able to do?
Yeah, we used to... We'd notice
it's not a long-term solution, too. It's not. This is not a long-term... You can't have them there forever. It's not. You have to have some other plan eventually.
Right, Kyle.
It reminds me of, like, surveillance we would observe in London, for instance.
Yeah.
The crime goes where the cameras are not. And if they're everywhere, that's fine, but there's still places that people understand aren't actually being filmed. But you do raise a good point. I mean, it is impressive. It is a show of a certain sort of force. But is it comprehensive, as you said? And does it actually have a correlation? Is the cost... does that work out? The cost of having these people there and the menace of it
versus
the actual deterrence, is that something statistically we can actually measure?
The negative effects it has on our society because we then think this is normal, this is how it should be, when it absolutely is not how it should be. Yeah, crime needs to go down. That's true everywhere. But crime has gone down, something that you can't really dispute because the facts and figures are there. I know if you're a victim of crime, you're not going to feel that way. But that is the case. So it's a manufactured crisis. It's not, you know, something that's suddenly skyrocketing. It's a problem everywhere. It's being dealt with. And, cities hire more cops if they feel they're needed. And to have, you know, these troops literally march in, it's a very bad message on so many levels.
Oh, and I'm just going to ask a quick question, and then I'm going to hang up to listen to your response online. I'm not sure if you touched on this already, but did you have any thoughts about the Charlie Kirk assassination today or killing today?
Hang
up and listen to what you say about this.
Okay, thanks. And that's the last call for tonight. But other than it's a horrible thing, and we cannot let our nation move into a scenario where this becomes normal, because this is not who we are. It's not who any of us are. There's probably very little I would agree with somebody on this particular person, but that's not the point. That's not the point. I don't think anybody is actually focusing on that today because it's a horrible, it's a scary thing if this becomes the society we live in. And so we all have to band together, I think, and just condemn this kind of thing, obviously.
Yeah, we all have various opinions about this, and the point I think that we agreed on is that it's really just it's too fresh. It's an emerging event, and it's not really in our wheelhouse for the topics that we discuss for the shows. Certainly we go into the broader political and social context very often, but at a time like this, at a moment like this, and certainly with the memorial tomorrow that's going to be a big deal in this country, it just really didn't seem like...
The 9/11 memorial.
Correct.
Charlie Kirk memorial.
Okay. But all of that is going to be, I think, front of mind. And I think our opinions of it will evolve and change too, as for us to just sort of errantly start commenting on it. I mean, there's a lot of takes, a lot of
there's nothing else to say other than this is horrible. This should not happen.
Yeah, it just wouldn't advance it.
And if I see anybody trying to take control of the narrative, I'm going to be very upset with them, no matter what side they're on, because this is not something that is a political issue in that way. But again, we're not going to talk about that right now. Go ahead. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I won't comment on that, but I tend to agree with your views. This is just generally bad, right? It's not one way or the other. But I want to talk about the federal law enforcement, or rather the federalization of the military here. for law enforcement purposes, you know, it's described having these troops all around and as some kind of deterrent to commit crimes or some other purpose that has a law enforcement angle to it. There's actually a federal law, and this makes a lot of sense, called the Posse Comitatus Act, that prevents the federal government from using the military for domestic law enforcement purposes. And this is a law that originated as part of Reconstruction in the South because they were sick of the North's military lording over them. And so a law was passed that says, look, you can't use the military for law enforcement purposes like this. And that holds true when it's the National Guard, only if it's the federal government. If it's some kind of federalized military force, it can't be used for law enforcement purposes. But there's this weird distinction that if the National Guard is a state National Guard and it's motivated by, or rather mobilized by, the governor of that state, then that doesn't violate the Posse Comitatus Act.
And so what you have is you have red states literally sending troops into blue states. That is what's happening. If that doesn't sound like the beginning of a civil war, I don't know what does.
It's crazy. So there's these very weird, interesting, I think, legal distinctions that have origins in the Civil War that
we're dealing with now. There are guns in blue states, too, and I just don't think we need... This is the point of having a functional and meaningful political recourse in this country, and to treat political factions and states and places in this country like they're under occupation or something is like is really the antithesis of like the point of our the ideals in our sort of broader national identity, and we really should protect the ability to disagree, right? Like you can have differences with some of the states, some of the parts of the country, some of the political entities, but you respect their right to exist, even if it's, you know, abhorrent. And I think characterizing people, demonizing people, you can say it's not as productive as actual dialogue about the issues, about what needs to be worked on, and what sort of analysis, where the critical analysis lies, not in people in broad general terms. And it's a little disturbing to be citing or stoking things like civil war, because I don't know, like, the way that one went, I mean, the sides that are advocating for this got their asses handed to them. So, like, if that's what they want to revisit, I guess that's cool for them, but it's not going to be cool for the people who have to fight it again.
Except Trump has nukes.
Cool.
I'm just saying, you know, the president of the United States back then was not on the side of the Confederates.
Right. And I just don't think him nuking his own country would go well either.
Yeah, how many things that Trump has done would you say that about that he's done anyway?
I don't know. If that's something that changes the political winds to something a little bit more radioactive, then, I guess that's the direction we're going to go, but
this
I think
guy,
that's really foolish.
This guy was the president of peace, he kept saying, and he literally has started war.gov. I mean... God, Alex, have you hacked that yet? Have you figured out a way into Word? That's the domain to hack.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I want Emmanuel@war.gov. That's what I want.
That's crazy.
Give me that account. Okay, so we have to do the obscenity. Have you picked an obscenity, Alex? And tell us what it is.
Yeah, I think we'd stick with the original. I think we'd do shit.
Shit works.
I think we'd do shit again. Shit is
good.
Easy. Fuck is too much.
It's you also know. You have to restart your mouth. You know, fuck. It's like, whereas shit, it just kind of works better.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yes.
I also don't know.
Too many
syllables, and mother would slip through.
That's right.
I don't know who gets to decide this word is obscene. At what point do you say that's an obscene word? You know.
All right. So everybody, all right. Get the kids. Get everybody. Everybody in the room.
Some guidelines here. Try and say it the same way, evenly spaced. Leave a little bit of space between each word. All right, not too much space, don't step on each other. Don't overact. And if somebody messes up, we got to start from the beginning again, because the idea is to get five of us saying it five times in a row, so that we have a total of 25 times.
Here's what I propose.
Yes.
Here's what I propose. We need an order to do it then, and then the other person just needs to jump right in. So why don't we go in alphabetical order?
Well, I can't think that way, but... all right, but that would be Alex, Emmanuel, Gila, Kyle, Rob.
All right. Okay.
So
now,
just remember...
Can we each say it once and like keep
say it five times in a row. And let's establish a pace. Let's try to keep the same pace. But let's remember the person who comes before you. That's all you have to remember. So, Alex, I'm remembering you. Kyle, remember me. No, I'm sorry, Gila.
Yeah,
Gila,
you're already confusing me. I know, Gila.
Gila, Kyle, Rob. Okay. And I think the pacing should be like shit, 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 like that. Is that good? Can we all do that?
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we can do that.
And try not to talk over anybody, and let's keep the same pace and not make any extra noise. And you start, Alex, when you're ready.
Okay, give me a second. All right. In three, two, one. Shit. 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 Shit.
Shit. Shit. Shit. Shit, shit,
shit, shit, shit, shit, shit,
shit, shit, shit, shit, shit,
shit, shit, shit, shit, shit,
shit.
Oh my God, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. I was so afraid I was going to start laughing.
I was so close.
I was really close. I can only imagine somebody just tuning in now wondering what the hell that was all about. But we'll find out in a couple of days. We'll see if we got a whole line of dashes on YouTube or if somehow it slipped through.
Buffalo, I'm shit.
No, what's the sentence? What's the sentence?
Minute mark.
What's the sentence, Kyle? You got to get it right.
Buffalo.
I think you have an extra buffalo in there.
Oh, come on.
Look it up on Wikipedia. I swear to God, all those buffalo, that's a Wikipedia page. I think it's, what, six times or seven times?
Buffalo.
No, you have an extra buffalo. I'm sure. It's buffalo. That's the sentence.
Buffalo shit.
And it makes sense. That's the thing. It makes sense. Huh. Okay,
this evening has been a highlight of my career as a broadcaster.
It really has. We've gone everywhere.
Yeah, people are now. What were you doing last night? Oh, just listening to the radio.
Oh yeah, this was going over the radio. Shit, I mixed up the two shows.
Oh no, no.
Yeah.
That'd have been fun though. Yeah.
Would have been fun. All right, folks. This has been fun. This has been a joy. But we must end it now. So please write to us, OTH at 2600.com, if you have any comments. And
Please hack something, tell people about it, and otherwise be kind.
Hacking is good. Drugs are bad, but hacking is good. What?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you mean by drugs. I get what you mean, but...
Yeah. The kind of drugs that Mr. Mackey uses.
And hydrate, drink water, and walk is dead.
Okay, we're all quoting South Park, apparently, but what Kyle said is, walk is dead. Something I would disagree with, but yeah. All right, we're going to sign off. Thank you, everybody.